I've got something I would like to preach to you this evening. I've got three verses for you. If you would turn to the book of Matthew, we're going to get two verses in the book of Matthew. The first will be in chapter 9. And if you find Matthew chapter 9, verse 13, don't rise yet. Just say amen, and I'll know when you're all getting there. Okay, we got it. 9:13, put a finger there. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 12. Put a finger there. You say amen when you got that one? Chapter 12. And the last one will be in the Old Testament, in the book of Hosea, chapter 6. I'm going to do this a little different this evening. Before we read any scriptures, I want to open with prayer because I know I'm going to start preaching on the scriptures as I read them. I don't want to have you standing up for 20 minutes. So I'll tell you what, we'll read the first scripture there in Matthew chapter 9. And I'll begin in verse 10. So I'll ask you to rise for that section, and then afterwards, after we open with prayer, then we'll read the rest of the scriptures, and I believe this thing will come clear to us all. Matthew chapter 9, we see, I'm going to begin in verse 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, so that we get the whole picture here. And it says, as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they, behold, need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And Lord, this evening, as we read these scriptures and others, we ask you, Lord, to be with us in the understanding of this word. I ask you, Lord, to help us all, Lord, that your word take purchase in our hearts. Lord, that we dwell upon it and that we be helped by it. I ask you, Lord, that you would mold us, Lord, to your will. Lord, not that we would try to look at you and mold you to us, but rather we would be molded to you. I ask it for all of us, Lord, for all of us being what we are, being, Lord, your children dwelling in these earthy bodies. Lord, we need your help, Lord, in getting closer to you. We cannot do it alone. And so we ask you for this help, and we ask it in your name. Amen. You may be seated. This one phrase Jesus said here, where he said, but go ye and learn what that meaneth, I'll have mercy and not sacrifice, got on my mind early Monday morning as I was driving around on my route. I began thinking of Joe. You don't know who Joe is yet. You will before the evening's over. Got thinking of Joe, and this scripture came to mind. And it's one of those phrases that stuck in my head from often reading it. But I'll be honest with you, I couldn't think of the context in which Jesus said it. I couldn't remember the story. And I had to look it up. But that phrase was stuck in my head, go ye and learn what that meaneth. I'll have mercy and not sacrifice. And I found it here, and then I found it in Matthew 12. And I want to read the first few verses of Matthew chapter 12. It says, at that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn. That's talking about wheat corn. It says, and his disciples were hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. And by the way, that was legal, even if it wasn't their field, because the corners of those fields were not supposed to be harvested, but they were left for the poor. And those disciples following Jesus were all poor, and Jesus was poor. And that doesn't fit the health and wealth crowd very well, but that's the way it was. It says that when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. See, they thought that was unlawful. It was not unlawful. It was not called out against the law. But their traditions had it as unlawful for them to do any kind of work, including feeding themselves. But he said unto him, have you not read what David did when he was a hunger and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them that were with him, but only for the priest. Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? In other words, they worked. I mean, those animal sacrifices were work. If you ever skin an animal, that's work. Amen. By the way, Sunday's a work day for a preacher. But I say unto you that in this place there's one greater than a temple. But if you had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. So that's twice he used the same phrase. This is the same Matthew saying this, so it's not a matter of two writers getting something confused, which is what a lot of the theological liberals like to say, but Jesus did repeat himself sometimes. If you look, the Sermon on the Mount that's in Matthew, Jesus said much of the same things in the Sermon on the Plains in Luke, but it's two different times. He repeated himself because it needed to be repeated. And here he said this same phrase at two different times, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Well, I had to look it up because I knew he was quoting the Scriptures because he said he was. He said, go and find what that meaneth. And he was telling them something in the Scriptures. And that's why I asked you to turn to Hosea, and I'm going to read it there. In Hosea chapter 6, he was speaking in the first three verses of chapter 6 about how the Lord will be good to the remnant that's left. But then in verse 4 and 5, he says, O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? That's both the northern and the southern part of the kingdom. He says, for your goodness is as a morning cloud, and as the early dew it goeth away. Now you know how the morning clouds are in a hot land, how that once the sun comes out and starts shining, they break up and they're gone. And how the morning dew is the same way. How that once the day breaks and starts, and just a little bit of heat, the morning dew is gone. He says, that's how your goodness is. It's there just a little bit and it's gone. He says, therefore have I hewed them by the prophets. In other words, I cut them by the prophets. The Word of God cuts when you're doing wrong. He says, I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and thy judgments are as the light that goeth forth. In other words, it's going to be that quick. Your judgment will be. But why? Verse 6 says, for I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Now God here didn't tell him, I wanted you to disobey my law so you could be good. That's not what he said. God didn't give the law for it to be disobeyed. And this is sometimes taken out of its meaning on that. Now I want to be clear on this, because tonight I'm preaching of mercy. I told you I'd tell you about Joe in a minute, and I'm going to tell you about him because he was on my mind. As I began to think on this Monday, the Lord was dealing with me about having mercy and not sacrifice. I wasn't looking at this to preach to you. That wasn't why I was studying it. It was on my mind, and I began to think of me. Because when the Lord puts something on my mind, I try to find out what He's telling me. Now, I often preach what was put on my mind to you, because I'm convinced that God puts preachers and the people they preach to through the same thing sometimes. Why? So that what I preach can help you. I don't know exactly how He does it. I can't figure out God. I'm not that big. But I'm convinced that whatever He's putting on my mind, He's got on some of yours. And I'm convinced He does that often. So He's dealing with me on this thing of having mercy and not sacrifice. I begin to think of my own case and who I was before I got saved. And you wouldn't have liked me pretty much. Not that I don't have some of the same problems now, but they were more evident then. You know, I was pretty pig-headed and had a short temper. And the Lord's helped me on that a lot, but every now and again I still have that problem. And y'all don't see it as much as, now, Brother Charles sees it sometimes down there at work when I come in and I've got a little hot under the collar and somebody runs up and gets next to me. Last week, I believe it was, I was about ready to just run over somebody. I still have that problem sometimes. Maybe you do. But before I was saved, it was prominent. It was really out there in front of you. And that was the least of some of my problems. I wasn't one to commit to anything. I didn't like to commit to a town. I didn't like to commit to a job. I didn't like to commit to a woman. Didn't like to commit to nothing. I really wasn't somebody that you'd like. And so for all of that, who am I to not have mercy? Do you see where I'm going? I began thinking about that. Who am I to not have mercy? Because again, the Lord was dealing with me about this. I'm bringing it to you, but the Lord was dealing with me about this. And I began to think of not only the sins I committed, but again, the person that I often was. And I began to think about the people who have come through this church. And that's where Joe came to my mind. You met Joe. Joe and Candy sat in the back the other night with about four kids. They're poor, poor as poor can be. They remind me a lot of people that would be in my family about two generations ago. They got nothing. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Joe as a go. And y'all hear me. Because the Lord said, I'll have mercy and not sacrifice. And I thought, as the Lord was dealing with me about this, about some of the people I've tried to go out and reach, because I'm not always at my house. I'm not always at your house. I'm not always on the job. Sometimes I go out and try to find somebody and try to track them down and see if they're interested in God at all. And I thought about one that came through this church for a while and how that when he disappeared, I went out and tried to track him down and went to where he lived. They told me, I think he's down there in them, I think he said the Odom trailers. It's the pink flamingos. I don't know if you know where I'm talking about. Them rough trailers down there where the drunks and the druggies hang out. And so I went down there and he was drinking with Earl Angenot. Maybe y'all know Earl. And I talked to Earl and his, I don't know if it's his wife or his woman, whatever it is, Dawn. And I'm mentioning names tonight because you know them. And I've been down there talking to him before. And Earl every now and again will tell me he's going to come to church and he never has. And I can tell you other stories about what they've told me. Because you'd be surprised when you get down there talking with people who don't have nothing. You'd be surprised when you get down there talking to people who are not only without money, but without God. However, now and again, they'll break down and they'll start telling you stuff about their life. Things that you could condemn them over real easy. Things that you could look down your nose at them about real easy. But the Lord said, I'll have mercy and not sacrifice. When He got on to the Pharisees and told them that they had forgotten the weightier matters of the law. And that's in Matthew 23:23, if you want to look it up. If you look what the weightier matters of the law were, it was judgment, mercy, and faith. The middle one was mercy. The Lord said, I'll have mercy. And when He said sacrifice, He's talking about that obedience to the law. It's not that God wants us to disobey the law. He wants us to obey the law, but understands He wants us to be merciful. I began thinking about those and about Earl, about another fellow I've got here maybe twice, I think, once at a revival, and then came through when Brother Bill Russell was preaching one night. I think it was last summer. I don't know if it was at the revival or on Saturday preaching. I don't know. But he came through and he sat around here somewhere. And at the altar call, he went up to the altar and I went up to pray with him and he couldn't really pray and I was hoping that he'd just come on back. Hadn't been able to get him back. I talked to him every now and again and hoping I could get him back. You know, that night when he came, I could smell the alcohol on him. If he came in again after drinking, would you have mercy on him? Thought about the story Brother Charles told me about in West Baptist. I don't know the man's name. Just a town drunk. I don't know his name. And how he'd step out and said sometimes his bottle would roll, hit the altar before him. And Brother Lawrence, who I didn't know, y'all know him, I don't know him, would get down and pray with him. The Lord said, I'll have mercy and not sacrifice. And we've had people come through this church. I remember when Angela brought a friend in and they came in that Sunday morning. There were several of them that hit the altar and prayed, cried. I haven't seen them since. I don't know where they're at. I don't know what they're doing. But if they came back tonight, would we have mercy? I mean, it's easy enough to talk about our own people. If I brought up your kids and your grandkids' name, I know you'd have mercy. But what if it's somebody you didn't know? You just have mercy. The Lord said, I'll have mercy, not sacrifice. First time I met Joe, I told you I was going to tell you about him. Y'all know I know David Messer. I met him out playing bluegrass gospel. We don't believe everything the same. We don't. But I went down there for a singing, and Joe came in there, and my first impression of Joe, I'm just going to be honest with you. My first impression of Joe, I didn't like him. Just right off the bat, as soon as I saw him, didn't like him. And the Lord checked me on that. He checked me on that. Basically asked me why. It wasn't in so many words, but basically stopped me. And I thought, well, why is it I don't like him? Well, I think he might have even had on, he had on boots, and I think maybe even shorts and a tank top. I don't remember, but he wasn't dressed fit for the house of God. And he might have been drinking that night. But the Lord wouldn't leave me alone about it. Then. And next time I seen him, I tried to talk with him, and I knew he was confused about everything. And he is. He still is. He's trying to seek and find out. And he's trying to learn. And I began to know a little bit about Joe. And find out that he had married Candy. And began to find out a little bit about Candy and her story. And I'm not telling you that. But I'm telling you that what I found out was that people had been through a lot more than I knew about. I've got a cousin of mine who's a preacher who said something one time that stuck with me. He said, you can't even judge a fence post till you walk all the way around it. Now, y'all know what that means? Anybody ever look at a fence line to find out if it needed to change any post? You can't just look from your front yard and look out there and look at the post. You've got to go walk around those fence posts and look because they might be rotten in the back. And what looks like a rotten post right here, it might be just discolored. It might be all right. But nobody can walk all the way around a man. Only God can do that. Only God knows where somebody's been. Only God knows what somebody's been through. And you and I can't walk all the way around a person. And as I began to find out about Joe and Candy, I found out quickly that my little snapshot judgment was a shame to me. Was a shame to me. And I would talk to Joe. And then one night I went down there for another singing. And Joe wasn't in there. So I caught him outside. And he'd been drinking. And that night, as everybody was inside and I was outside talking with Joe, he began to tell me more about his life. And it's kind of hard-pressed to even call it that. He didn't grow up with a mother. He never had a mother to tell him that she loved him. He never had that. And his father, I'd hesitate to call it, raised him. If you want to call that raised. Joe right now has lumps and bumps all over his head from where his father physically abused him and the rest of the kids. And the abuse was a lot worse than that. It's everything that you can think and worse. His family is in drugs right now, involved in dealing drugs, in and out of jail, in the Aryan Nation and in the Ku Klux Klan. They're in bad shape. Joe didn't know nothing about God or nothing about it. All he knew was violence and abuse. That's all he ever knew. And of course, as he told me that, it made me feel smaller. You with me? Lord said, go ye and learn what that means. I'll have mercy and not sacrifice. Talked to him that night. We had a long talk. I told him I loved him. I do. Joe's a friend of mine. About a month later, I went down. This time, I don't know, maybe 2 months later. This time I went down. By this time, I'd started courting Joey. And I went down to see Joy. And we went over there, but in my mind, I had to go see Joe. I wanted to go see Joe. And went over there and had to go to his trailer. It's over there next to that little bitty church they got. And if you saw the trailer, you'd be tempted to look down your nose at him. Because it's ratty looking. It's rough looking. It's full of junk. It's junk in the yard. And he was out there in a pair of shorts and maybe a pair of boots, and that's it. And He was drunk again. His mouth was foul. He was being mean, even to his wife and his kids. And that, I saw him briefly. And then about an hour or two later, and the sun was down, I went over there to knock on the door. I wasn't satisfied. I wanted to go see Joe. And this time he answered the door like he usually did with a gun in his hand. Because that's the way he did. But you know what? I used to do that. I used to answer the door. I had a gun on me if I answered the door. If you didn't, you might not see it. It might be behind me. But I had one. So I know how that is. But the Lord said, go ye and learn what that means. I'll have mercy and not sacrifice. I talked with him that night. And he cried and he cried. Because I'm going to tell you, when somebody gets in that kind of shape, they're miserable. When somebody gets in that kind of shape where they're, especially if they're drinking or on drugs, and they seem violent, they're cursing, there's a misery inside them. A misery. And just thank me over and over for coming to see him. Well, that wasn't something, that wasn't my idea. God wouldn't let me go without going to see him. He said, I'll have mercy. But it wasn't long after that, Joe got drunk one too many times, pulled a gun on one too many people. The judge gave him an option of going through a rehab. Now, y'all know what I think of rehabs. I've told you. I think the best they can do is get somebody dried out long enough to let them make a choice. But a rehab don't fix nobody. It don't. Because the problem's deep in the spirit. It's deep in the soul. It takes God to fix a man. Well, he did well. He did really good. And it hadn't been very long that he came out. He came out, and in my mind, I had, you know what I had in my mind? My opinion. His rehabs don't work. That's what I had in my mind. The Lord said, I'll have mercy. And he's come here a couple of times. He may come here again. I hope he does. I know where he's going to church. I know what he's hearing. I know he's confused. And I know when he comes here, it's not quite the same. And I know that probably confuses him too. But the Lord said, I'll have mercy. Mercy. That's what was on my mind as that verse went through me Monday morning. I was thinking of Joe. And I thought of some of the others. I thought of Earl Longinot. I thought of Brian. Thought of some of these others. Thought of Merle. I thought of some of your kids and grandkids too. I'm not in any kind of condition to refuse to give mercy. I know who I was. I know who I am. God help me. I want to try to give mercy anytime anybody walks through those doors. I want to try to have mercy on anybody I find outside the doors. God said, I'll have mercy, not sacrifice. Listen, I believe in having high standards. I do. I believe in trying to obey the Word of God for everything that's in us. I do. I believe it. But I don't want to turn into a little martinet and forget mercy. I don't know who's on your mind. But somebody needs to be. Somebody needs to be. Somebody's walked through here, or maybe it's not even somebody that's come through this church. Maybe you can to them, maybe you're not. But somebody needs you to tell them more than the Ten Commandments. Somebody needs to hear from you more than what they ought to do. And I'm not telling you not to tell them what they ought to do. And maybe you need to tell them that. But there's something else they need to hear as well. Somebody needs to hear you say three words. They need to hear you look them dead in the eye and say, I love you. Go ye and learn what that means. I'll have mercy and not sacrifice. If ye had known what it means, I'll have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. Jesus could have been the leading guy in the Pharisees. Pharisees would have took him right in as a rabbi, as a teacher. But there was something that separated him from them. He knew what that meant, to have mercy. And they didn't. They knew the law. They knew what the Scripture said. They knew how to parse it, how to slice it, how to dice it. They knew all the little ins and outs. But they did not know mercy. Of everything that can be said about you and I, let it be said that you have mercy. And whoever in your life that you run across from day to day is downcast, let that be your friend. Whoever's an underdog, pull for them. Whoever's out there is hurting, whoever people make fun of, you go talk to them. Go over to Burger Inn, you see Roy. Have a kind word to say to him. See somebody around this town that nobody likes? At least tell them hello. And let's go forward in mercy. It's been on my mind since Monday morning. If you don't need it, I need it. And maybe you need it. I don't know. I did. That's all I've got for you. We'll close out with prayer, as we normally do on a Wednesday. Y'all let the Lord help you. Let the Lord take you through your week and show you who you can have mercy on. Brother Craig, will you close us in a word of prayer?